Hello, Dustin.
Hello, here, start my video real quick. You should be able to see me in a second. There we are.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful palette too. I like the red, the black, the
Yeah,
white.
hey, let me change my lighting a little bit so I'm not so washed out. It's a little dark in the room that I'm in, so I kind of gotta get creative. How's that look?
Oh, beautiful. Yeah,
Great, we pulled
great.
it off.
How are you doing on this wonderful, what day is it? Tuesday?
Something like that. Yeah, it sounds vaguely correct. I think it's Tuesday. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Couldn't be better off of
You're out in
work.
Phoenix, you said?
I am, yes.
Great. What's
Yes.
Phoenix like this time of year? It's probably nice, right? It hasn't gotten unbearable yet,
No,
as
not
far
yet.
as the
No,
heat goes.
we're still in sweater weather. I think it's like 90 degrees as a high, so it is still
Oh,
in the
it's
long
awful.
sleeves. Yeah,
Just,
I
I
know.
know when I got offered, sorry, I'm looking for a plug-in, but I can keep talking.
No.
When I got offered my headlining date out there at Stand Up Live, I was just like, all right, Matt, does it have to be July? Is there, it would be so nice to come in one of the slightly more pleasant times. But then, you guys are desert, so you get really cold during the winter too.
It is true. A lot of times people talk about the dry heat, but they don't talk about the dry cold, where
Yeah, way worse.
it's bone chilling. It's pretty bad. But it isn't too bad during the day though. The nighttime it gets chilling, but I felt bad because I know during your special you were talking about you and your family. You went to do a gig at ASU in August.
True story. My then 7, 8 year old felt the heat for the first time, asked if we were in hell. I said no, and then he saw the devil, the mascot of ASU, and I thought, you raise a valid point. But I did just notice, and this is purely coincidental, I do have my Arizona coffee mug. This is pure. I'm sure I got this at a thrift shop when I was playing Laughs Out in Tucson. Almost positive that that's where this came from.
Oh man, it is just oh so fitting. And
Yeah, exactly.
there's a if you look on the inside, once you drink it all, there is a slight devil on a design at the
Perfect.
bottom.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And just a baby little cactus.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, good. Well, we can go ahead and get started. I've been recording, but
Great.
welcome everybody that's listening to a comedy advice podcast with your host, Stefan Sitani. And this is where we're going to give a little bit of advice with some comedy sprinkled in. And joining me today, very special guest. He's a hilarious comedian with a new special, Overwhelmed, on Amazon. You may have also seen him on Comedy Central, Netflix, or Fox, or heard him on his podcast, Don't Make Me Come Back There. Everybody, please welcome Dustin Nickerson.
Thank you. Great intro. Really good. Hopefully, while you hear that, you hear some of my kids screaming in the next room. I hope that that goes in there. If you see me do this at any time, it means that's my keep it down next door. But yes, all those credits are true. And yes, I do have screaming children in a room next to me. So,
You know what? I'm gonna amplify it in post so it's like an
great.
uproarious crowd.
Yeah,
So it's gonna be.
CGI, I'm in behind me, the whole thing.
That's wonderful. And I was really nervous about, the intro was great, but I was just really holding to make sure that I got the nice tight landing on the name because I had also seen one of your most recent clips with Kev on Stages. What was it? Don't be too close for comedy. I forgot the exact name.
Keep your distance. Keep
That's
your
the one.
distance. That's it. Yeah. Yeah,
Yes.
gotta hit the K in my last name. And that ended up being that's been a the biggest clip I've ever had on YouTube, on TikTok, and more people saw that than anything else I've ever done, which is fun because I mean, I did that joke once before. But I was performing in front of a black crowd, and so they were going to get it more, and like it was and frankly kind of be more open to the idea of the joke, which is if you say my name wrong, it sounds like the N-word. And it does. And I've lived it. And so it was one of those things you're like, great. I mean, this is best case scenario for this joke, because I can't, it's not going to become a part of the act. I'm not going to do it on the Tonight Show. You know, like, it's right. not going to be just something that you're using all the time on every show that you do. So, you know, YouTube is very, very hard and tricky to get views on. And this mm-hmm. is like the first video. I think this one got like, it's at like 100,000 in like less than a week. And I've never had a video before that get more than like 20,000. So I'm just riding the wave, Stefan.
Oh man, what a beautiful wave that is. And I
it's
thought
nice,
it was,
yeah.
And I thought it was such a wonderful video too, because it's like you said, you know, the mostly black crowd. And then you also set it up so nicely where it was just like, were you improvising on some of the parts where you were talking about, who was it? Another comedian that was referring to, he was like, you met me 15 minutes ago and you were referring to me as the white guy in the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. Jonathan Slocum, a legend in comedy, was on that show. And, you know, he was doing his set and I was in the crowd and he was like, you know what I mean, white guy? And I was like, dude, we were just in the green room together. You know, and I'm the only white male here, and the only white female is my wife next to me, who you also met. So it, you know, I had an idea. I didn't plan on doing that bit. I had thought about that bit many times. And I was just like, I wonder if I can ever, but it was the first 3 or 4 minutes that set are, yeah, I mean, they're obviously I'm riffing on making fun of Tahir, and then I'm
right.
You know, but that's one of those things that you like, I mean, to kind of dive into comedy stuff, like you had some ideas, and then when they really started resonating with that idea, which that crowd was so lively that I could tell when they were really vibing with something that I was saying, that I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay here for a minute. Like, I didn't plan on doing the Nickerson bit, but then when he did in his set, he did a joke about, you know, like he said, like negative is like white people, what was his joke? It was something along the lines of like white people who want to use the N word. Well, you can say negative, like my neg, like negative, you know, short. And then he's and that's what was the context. He was like, oh, you can say a white guy. And then I was like, well, let's try this bit, because he did, you know, it was on in the context of the whole show. So yeah, it was a very fortunate, you know, but if you watch, I don't know if I put in the whole video, the last joke, the last tag to the last joke misses, because I make a joke about reparations and they go so tight. And it's a very fun moment where I go, okay, I was already tiptoeing. I crossed the line. And that ended up being a relief of it too. So I was happy with the set, and I was happy it was caught in high def to share with the world. But as is the case with many things, you know, when you get, you know, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, you get in that comment section and man, a lot of people really liked it. And a lot of people are like, I can't. Somebody, I put this on Instagram. Someone said, didn't laugh once, and I watched it twice. And then it was hashtag no judgment zone, and I'm like, what? That sounds a lot like judgment. That's funny.
That sounds like the epicenter of judgment.
Exactly.
Zone.
So that is. So you know, the comments, I don't know, I feel like the different social media levels of comments sting more. The YouTube ones don't sting too bad. The TikTok ones don't hurt. But I feel like the Instagram ones hurt the most. I don't know why. Instagram feels more personal.
It does. It does. And, you know, I'm also used to the sting of YouTube comments too, where similar in that vein, where somebody had said, apparently people don't like my laugh too much. I've got a very resounding and sonorous chortle. And so when I do laugh, somebody had commented like,
That sounds like a Pokemon.
The evolution of guffaw, but somebody had said, I tried to come back to this after a week, but couldn't get past his laugh. And I was like,
well, that's funny. A lot of people's favorite part of that video is there's a crowd member who has a very loud, distinct laugh, but 1 in 20 comments is like, why are they laughing so hard? This isn't funny. The laugh ruins this video. And it's just, you know, you tell yourself, I, you know, I had this thought this week, when I was going through some negative comments, I thought, there is no comedian on the planet. It's really no artist on the planet, entertainer on the planet that everybody likes. Nobody agrees on everybody. Maybe Outkast. Maybe Bruno Mars. I don't, it might be Outkast, honestly. It may be, but like, yeah. My dad doesn't like Outkast. But the point is, and when you put yourself on the internet, you're just gonna, the people who don't like you will share that with you. There's no, if you were on The Tonight Show in 1984, and, one week they had Gary Shandling and the next week they have you. Well, if they didn't like you, you didn't know about it. They never showed up in your life. They never commented on it. They just never bought a ticket to your show. But the people who really liked you came to you. Now we have to hear from the people that don't like us. And that's a modern comedy problem. That was not there before.
That's true. And sometimes they aren't particularly articulate about it either. It's just like, this guy sucks.
When they just straight tell you you're not funny. And that's, you're just like, geez, just really going for it there. Just like the direct shot that, which is one of the most but it is a fair statement to them, because in their mind, comedy is so subjective. And so they're just like, no, this wasn't. But they never say it like that. They're like, I could see how some people like this, but it just isn't my taste. Nobody says that. That would be great.
Right.
Just like, this guy sucks.
And I think you had, it's really cool that you kind of embrace it too, because I had seen on Twitter where you had posted about Laugh Planet. They had a cool thumbnail talking about white guys,
right,
black crowds. And there was Bill Burr, Louis C.K. and you.
And me. That's which is so funny. The three of us.
but it is really cool. And going back to talking about something that I thought was really important that you had mentioned, where you kind of feel things out and you improvise there a little bit, and then you segue into these nice bits that you have. And I think it's so cool, and it really shows the seasoned comedian that you are, where you're not able to just kind of riff with the crowd, but you're also able to apply it with other bits that you might have in your back pocket. And you're like, oh, this is a good one for this. Almost like
In settings like that, that's what you're hoping for, right? Like, there are times that you're working and you're like, listen, I've got the special coming up, or I got to get this hour out, I'm working on new material. And then there's sets where you're just kind of in the zone. You're just trying to, I knew that set, the nature of that set was, a lot of these people have seen my special before, because my special was filmed by Transit Media, who makes the Kev on Stage shows. My special happened because of my first Keep Your Distance set, where Kev and Transit both said, we want in the Dustin Nickerson business. And I said, well, let's do a special. That's what I'm working on. And we kind of, in those type moments, you are kind of like free to be loose. And you also want to see if you can just separate yourself on some topical things and some newer ideas. And that's the stuff that plays so well right now on Clips, that you're just like, it's like, we're all late night hosts at a monologue. We're like, well, man, if I can write a Dr. Seuss joke 2 weeks ago, and get a clip of it and get it out, that's the type of stuff that shares really well right now. So thank you for the compliment. That was one of those sets where you're like, yeah, you're very much kind of free to do that. And I also only knew I had 10 minutes. And so you're like, all right, well, I can play around here, and I know how to get out if I don't, and we'll see what they resonate. Maren said this, I don't even remember where he said it. It might've been on his show, it might've been on his podcast, but I remember he said, you're just trying to make a connection. And I agree with that, because you would say you're just trying to get laughs, but I say the connection comes before the laughs. So you have to connect with them in some way. You're trying to, what energy are you, and how do I give you an energy that meshes with this? How do I meet you where you guys are at, and then get you to come on board to what I'm doing here? Especially when you have maybe some heady ideas that you want them to go with. If they're a rowdy drunk crowd, then you better go out there and machine gun some bits for 10 minutes to get them to at least pay attention to you. You know, like I did a set at a bar in PB this last Wednesday. It was a total rowdy bar crowd. And I had to go do 30, 35. And it looked nothing like my Keep Your Distance set because that was a small crowd outside, sober. And, you know, like that was that setting. But yeah, I had to get that bar's attention for the first 10 minutes of my set, you know, so it looked and felt a lot different.
Hey, everybody, it's Future Stefan with a mid-episode announcement. This episode is brought to you by Farmhouse Hemp, the best CBD you could get your little paws on. You guys might be asking, well, I love CBD, but I can get it from my mom or from the store like Walmart. Don't do it. Other companies use a chemical extraction, which you're supposed to use CO2, but other companies use ethanol, butane, propane, or pentane, or other chemicals to extract their CBD, which robs it of its properties. And nobody likes being robbed, because you're getting double robbed, because CBD gets robbed, and then you get robbed, and you're like, oh no! And the company's like, ha ha ha. So what Farmhouse Hemp does is they have their own organic hemp, and they mechanically extract it. So with a little bit of heat and a lot of bit of weight, they extract it and just go to pound town on that hemp. So they're able to get those gooey, delicious bits for you to help you relax. If you've got those sore, achy muscles, this CBD will do the trick. If you are anxious, oh man, I took it and I had the best night's sleep that I can remember. And guess what? You can have it in an assortment of different ways. I've had it in the CBD honey, which is scrumptious. You can just dip that in the coffee or the tea, and you've got a CBD morning, baby. Or the little candies, the hard candies, delicious. Just pop those in your mouth, and you've got CBD time. Or chapstick, a whole assortment of great CBD products. So head on over there. Whoa, you guys are like, wow, this is great news. Even greater news, it's 15% off. For my listeners. That's right. For you guys, if you get on in the link, just get on it. Straddle my link or go to farmhousehemp.com/discount/ACAP. You'll get 15% off your products. So what are you waiting for? Go on over there while you're listening to this amazing episode and go on over there and get your CBD. Oh, interesting. And I love that you use the word connection too, because I feel like connection with the crowd along with connection with your own material is really important, and it makes for a really great comic. And I feel like you have this great connection where you've been doing comedy. Is it how long have you been doing comedy?
It'll be 8 years this summer, 8 or 9, something like that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I know that you were just talking about too, you might be working on material for your special. And I want to talk about your special Overwhelmed on Amazon. Link is going to be in the show notes for everyone that wants to watch. Please watch. And you, in all the sets that I've seen you on, there's been at least one or two moments where sometimes you almost don't make it to the punchline without cracking yourself up. And I think that...
In the special.
Yeah.
Oh, because of all the silliness happening around me, you mean, right?
Yeah. And I also feel like you're almost entertained by your own material in a way that tickles me to know. Because I feel like some people, they can just go through the motions and just keep going through their bits. And there's a little bit of a distance between the saying of the bit and then the feeling of it. And I feel like your connection with the audience is on point, and then your connection with your material is also.
I'm not entertained by my material. I hate my jokes like any good comic. I feel great when I feel them. That's what I'm smiling about. You know, okay. I have, you know, are you familiar with Enneagram, the Enneagram tests and stuff? There's these different numbers.
No.
It's something my wife got into a while back. And it's very interesting. You know, there's different types of people. It's similar to your Myers-Briggs and stuff like that. But as has been described to me, and I really do resonate, it's like I'm an Enneagram 2, which means like I'm very perceptive to other people's feelings and emotions. And to a fault sometimes where I'm like, oh, you know, if somebody's upset, I can't be happy. And I was like, well, that's not my problem. But I take on people's emotions a lot. Yeah. But it means in comedy, and I've never probably, until you pointed it out and I thought about it, I've never thought about it. That's why I'm smiling. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel your energy with me. You know, I feel you guys like this thing and you work. It's kind of like what, I think it's like what bands talk about when it's so amazing that when somebody's singing your song, you're like, this is just this little dumb thing, you know, that on the, I penciled in a stupid notebook and I had the, you know, on my notes thing and I worked on it and now you guys are feeling it. And that's you know, it is a bit of a euphoria, you know, it's a powerful feeling. Makes you happy.
That's really cool.
Until it's done and then you hate yourself again. Don't get me wrong. I was miserable after the special. I was like, it was awful to be around. And everybody that I talk to says that most comedians are like that. And that's been my experience is like, you like, they're kind of relieved, but they're just like, well, you know, that didn't go perfect.
Speaking of things not going perfect, how did it feel to have that guy fall asleep?
Wow.
In the front row.
It's funny. I'm going to be posting that clip this week on my YouTube because it's been about 5-6 months. And I was like, this is the highlight of the special for a lot of people. And it was when so that happened the second show. Thank God it happened the second show, because if it would have happened the first show, I would have ignored it because it was so important that I capture the special. But the first show went well enough that I'm like, all right, I can be looser this second show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I noticed it a couple times early on in the set. And I was like, what is happening is he asleep? Because I can't be boring him already because I haven't had time to do that.
Right.
And I just kind of made very similar to, you know, the keep your distance thing. You just make a calculated risk. You know, you're up there to go back to our econ 101 classes, or we're doing a cost benefit analysis, you know, like the cost is pretty high because, you know, if I go off, if this goes poorly, I'm screwed here. I'm only 10 minutes into my set, but if it goes well, it's going to be a moment, you know, and it ended up, and he was so responsive and it was a great moment. And then he cleaned his glasses later and like, it was an ongoing thing with him. And so in the moment I was like, what? But as soon as it popped, I was like, you're just kind of like living it, like kind of watching it as it's happened, trying to be as much in the moment as you can, but knowing like, oh, this is going to be, you know, the highlight of the special. And you think about like Burr has the one special where the girl leaves, you know, and then it comes back and it's like every special, I got some, you know, and you just go.
Yeah,
those moments, if you can capture them on a special, are pretty special.
Mm-hmm. And special it was, I do have to say. And I mean, the special was so good. Speaking of which, I know you spoke about your family being a pastor, being very white, which I can definitely relate with, and also your dad a little bit and growing up there and potpourri, essential oils, lots of great, amazing things. And I know that some of the material, obviously, since it was corona related, I know you talked about inconsistencies with what scientists were saying based off of the data that was available. That was obviously one that had not been cooking in the oven that long. It was fresh because that had just happened. But had there a lot of the other bits for the special, have they been baking in the Nickerson oven for a while?
And that's why I filmed why I did. They were, okay. You know, Louis talks about that with material. They have that, it has that fruit-like life, right? Where it gets, you know, at first it's a little rough and then it gets ripe and then it can start to go bad. And I had felt that with a lot of the material that I'm like, because I had been working, so this time last year, really it was, I guess it would have been 13 months ago, I was supposed to have a showcase at the Hollywood Improv where we were inviting buyers out to see who would be interested in my hour. And working with my agents, and we were going to do it with agents I'm not even with anymore because my agents got let go from their agency and I went with them instead of staying with the big agency. You know, that was kind of going to be the first, you know, step in the direction of, hey, you know, what are our options here? And if somebody want to make this and hope to film it at this time last year, it was kind of setting arrangements for that. And then the world shuts down. Dang. And I go, I don't know that I can sit on this material that I like, that I've been telling for a long time, I don't know that I can sit on it for a year. And I also don't know that anybody's going to care about it in a year, because like Roy Wood said, like, you know, all comedy after Kobe died, or before Kobe died, feels kind of irrelevant. And I do think that there's a true statement to that. I think that we all, there was almost like a comedy reset button where like, well, what do you, you know, like, I think the best stuff is timely. And that's why we did the special when we did. And we tried to kind of make it as such that, you know, Irene too, who's a funny comic, she said, like, she was there the night, she goes, this isn't a COVID special, but it is COVID aware. You know, like, you definitely know it was during COVID. It's outside, people wearing masks. And I talk about it a little up front, but then I don't. But by minute seven, we're just into my act, you know? So we try to keep it fresh and then just get into this material that I was hoping to burn, get rid of it.
Oh, that's great. And a delicious bushel of Barry comedy it was. And you're right, it was aware, COVID aware, but it wasn't just specifically about that. And I like that. And I think that's one thing that's going to keep it fresh for a little bit.
That's the hope, too. Yeah. Because you don't want someone to turn it on 2 years from now and be like, absolutely not. I'm not going to watch this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get some PTSD. I know you had made a couple comments about the location. It reminded me back in my like teen years playing arcade games with like, it looked like a level of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, it did feel kind of like a Double Dragon level, didn't it? Like just kind of like you're just moving from left to right. You know, you could be, you know, you got to watch out for a flaming barrel that's going to get thrown at you. I mean, there were barrels to my left. Yeah. So I could absolutely see that it did. What did I call it? I mean, I made fun of the venue a lot, you know, just because it's so silly.
I think you had mentioned this looks like the place where Batman's parents got murdered.
I did. And then I changed it later when I saw the toxins to it's where it looks like the Joker got made, or the Joker became the Joker. It really looks like a lot of things. But in reality, what it is it's just a little, I mean, it's a parking lot. I'm in a parking lot behind a soundstage. And they're like, well, this can be our stage. And there you go. But I mean, Transit is unbelievable. Like it's a beautiful looking special. You know, it's very high quality. When you're just like, oh, outdoor special, when you see it, I mean, there are a lot of people released outdoor specials, and to me this looks better than all of them. Yeah, they did a great job. They're really talented.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I thought it was that they made it look great. I didn't realize it was a parking lot at all. It looked like a special venue where like there could be a beer garden there.
And yeah, and there should be.
It looked, oh, there we go. And unconventional it was. Speaking of unconventional, I know that you had also, I don't know if you're still doing it, but we're doing backyard shows across the country.
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, so it was like, it was one of those things that like, I felt like the comedy world was pretty divided over shows on whether or not we should or shouldn't be doing them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of folks didn't think it was a good idea. And then other folks were like, whatever, I'm just going to do it no matter what, it's fine. And I landed kind of in the middle of, I was like, well, I don't know that we should be doing a lot of indoor shows, and certainly not packed out indoor shows. That doesn't seem wise, but what can we do? And I just threw it out. It started as just an Instagram post to my followers, like, hey, who would be interested in this? It ended up being like a 20-day tour of just backyards. And those are like the best shows in the world, because what it is like, it's a super fan who plans it. It's someone who's like, oh, I really like Dustin. And then they invite all the right people to that show. Like they invite people who know are going to like what I do. So it's just kind of a staple of what I do now. It's that you can hire me and I'll come perform in your backyard if that's what you want. And I'm happy to do it because frankly, it pays better than clubs, and they're super fun and they're unique, and the video is interesting. And I also like, you know, it's like the punk rock Seattle kid in me. I like that it's independent. I like that it's, you know, I grew up. I remember when Pearl Jam took on Ticketmaster, and we're like, yeah, hell yeah, man, down with the man. Like, and that's what this feels like a little bit. You're like, I'm just taking it straight to the fans. I don't need We don't need processing fees. We don't, you know, if you want to book That's me cool. And, you know, I'll just bring it straight to you guys. And I it'll be a staple of what I do forever now. I had one last weekend. I have one, nice. I have one next month, and then I have three in a row out in Iowa in June. And it is a little bit seasonal because you can only play certain part, like, right, like Arizona, right. For example, you're like that Arizona might have the shortest window of any of them that you can do. Too cold during the winter. I mean, what months can you fall? You could pull off a fall Phoenix one, right?
Yes, yes. An autumn laugh fest. I was going to ask, do you, I mean, for a green room, do you go in the master bedroom and just wait there until showtime? Or
yeah, I, there, that it's, as far as accommodations go, it's less than ideal. There's a lot of, like, hey, I'm the guy, you know, you, you obviously your booker, you talk to a lot as far as like where, and some of them get it. Some of them like set you up in a, like in their, you know, a room in their house or whatever. But sometimes you just show up and you're like, well, I guess we'll just hang out here. But, you know, a lot of time they don't even know you're the comic because only the people that booked you know you. So, but it's it, the venues, it, what's fun about it is it becomes very much a collaboration with the person who brings you in. Because if you go through and look at the videos that I've shot, it's like people get so creative and unique with the stages and the setup and the lighting, and that it's super fun.
Oh man, I think that is super cool and such an innovative idea for being able to do something, especially, and it's like hard to find a balance. And I know that people, if they don't know a lot about something in this particular instance, like coronavirus, doing shows, and they're just like, okay, no shows. I almost see it as like being a lifeguard. You know, you can hang out at the pool, just don't run on the deck, and you know, you should be okay.
Yeah, well, and if there's anything that we learned in this last year is that nobody knows anything. Like they have absolutely, in the last 2 weeks, the CDC has said, just kidding, it's 3 feet apart, and it's highly unlikely that you're going to get it from surfaces. And you're like a year in. But that's what we've, you know, that's not a critique of the scientific community. It's just all of us forgot how science worked, or like the people who are like, oh, science changed its minds. Like, do you guys not remember taking, it's all about hypothesis. That's the whole idea. Yes. It's like, well, this is what we think, but we could be wrong. Science is not God. It's supposed to change its mind, you know? That's the nature of it. It's supposed to be like, our bad, we have some new information.
Yes.
It, you know.
Exactly. And I totally understand that and agree with that. The one thing I wish they could have got right the first time was the surfaces, because my wife, after every bag of groceries, she was like, all right, you're going to clean these and clean them well. So cereal boxes, ice cream, it was all sanitized.
You wish they could have got it right. And you wish that, like, it was so easy to not make it political. Like, if at this time last year, Trump was like, hey, I'm wearing a mask, not an issue, it would have been a totally different pandemic, because the mask became the thing. My buddy Zoltan Kassis, he's so funny. He's
like
my favorite.
I saw him live a couple months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. Cause he was there at the Improv or Stand Up Live. I don't remember.
He was at the Improv with Mark Normand. Yeah.
That's right. Gosh, that venue's too big. I did that. I've done that Improv once or twice. I'm like, this is a theater. This is not a comedy club, you know?
Yeah.
It's so big. But the, he had the bit where he said, like, we were all united for like 2 days. And then someone decided that COVID was a Democrat. And that's exactly it. It just got so, but you know what? It's not like we had experience on how to handle this. It's not like, you know, hopefully you learn from your mistakes and we'll forget them all by what's the next one supposed to come around? They come every 100, 125 years, something like that.
Yeah. Around there.
All right. Something to look forward to.
At least I will say, on the bright side, my wife, she's from Brazil. And they were talking about the vaccine, whether or not you should get the vaccine. And so the rumor is spreading that if you get the vaccine, you will turn into a crocodile. And it's half joke, but I think some people are thinking that it might happen. So,
well, as a Batman fan, I you know, the more killer crocs, the better. You know, we'll have some villains. They'll turn into heroes. They'll inspire heroes. It is crazy how, like, you know, it just, we've learned a lot about people this year and whether or not they're like your friends, whoever your friends are. You go, oh, are you naturally a worrier? Are you naturally someone who gets scared? Are you naturally someone who's just rebellious and doesn't, and just because you don't want to be told to do something, you're not going to do it? Are you caught? You know, we've learned. And like the, you know, the vaccine is a really interesting one. It's the same thing. But one thing that I've noticed is like, you know, those the headlines about like how well America is distributing the vaccine is not making any news. Because what we're learning about people is like, well, if it's a good story, it's not as exciting.
Yes. Yes.
Like, oh, America's crushing it with the vaccine right now. Nobody cares. That's not a story that is going viral anytime soon.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just thinking about that as I was talking with a friend that lives in Canada, and they were like, we are doing horrible with the vaccine distribution. We just messed up on purchasing enough, and we're just trying to make the mark of number of people that got the first dose. So then wait of like 3 to 4 months between first and second dose.
Brutal.
Yeah. So, but USA. But anyway, you are right.
USA.
I'm going to add in post just all the people behind.
Exactly. Yeah. Just don't mind those racist cops. Don't mind. Those. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we're about to jump into the advice portion of the podcast,
great,
Dustin. But this was just an absolute pleasure talking
happy to
comedy
do it.
and everything else with you. But as we jump in, we're going to answer some questions that some fans have sent in from the advice column on Reddit. But before that, I like to get nice and inspired with an inspirational quote. So I've got one in my pocket, but before I pull that one out, I like to ask my guests, and it's okay if you don't, but do you have any inspirational quotes that help motivate you in those dark days?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the first one that jumps to mind, it's, cause it's on my mind right now, is, Kev, it's Kev, you know, who's in Kev on stage. He says, well, I have two that jump to mind. One, he said, it was just a tweet that he threw out flippantly probably 6 months ago that I think about almost every day. So he goes, creators create and commenters comment. And I love that. It's such of just like, oh, that's fine that you do this, but I do this. And it's not even like I'm better than you. It does just kind of categorize people, because you will look at the people sometimes that make these comments that you're just like, oh, you're just a nobody. You don't have subscribers. You don't even have a profile picture. Like, you're just a commenter. That's your role in all of this. And then another one.
Yeah.
And I hate that I like the Tony Robbins quote. I don't like that this actually hit me, but he said I saw in a video where he said, most people overestimate what they can do in 2 to 3 years and underestimate what they can do in 2 to 3 decades. And I really like that. And I think about that all the time. Every time you post something, it doesn't do as well. You try a new joke and you're like, oh, my career isn't advancing the way that I want to. Or you're like, oh, no, we're long hauling it here. You know, I had too big of an idea of what this would be 2 to 3 years in, but I have too small of an idea of what this could be 2 to 3 decades in.
Oh, that, just to comment on those, because I'm a commenter, apparently. I think those are great quotes. I also, for the first one, I wish there was some sort of distinguishing characteristic when you saw somebody before you started talking with them.
Yes.
Like a haircut or something. You're like, okay, that's a commenter.
Yeah, like, okay, you've got a hat on. Now I know.
You have your cat on a leash outside.
Exactly.
So you're
that screams commenter.
You've left at least 3 one-star reviews on Yelp today. I can tell.
Yeah, Yelp is the comment section for civilians, you know, just like people who live in the real world. That's the worst that they can get, is, you know, someone gives them a bad thing on their Yelp and it gets back to them.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And the second one, I think, is really good, because that's one thing that I feel like, especially today, with social media, where you can get just that big hit of dopamine in a matter of nanoseconds.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, oh, look what this person did. I want that now. It's really hard, or really easy, to forget that, oh, if I keep working at something then I can achieve great things. And I feel like you're such a good example of that. I've heard you on multiple podcasts talk about, you know, it's just a slow grind, but you,
right.
you keep gradually going up. And
I always use the comparison, right? There's no breakthrough. It's not like that. The game isn't like that. Yeah, I mean, you can do the biggest thing in the world. You can have a Netflix special, you can be on Rogan, and it doesn't, I always think of us like Andy and Shawshank. It's just every night we go chip away, you know, and he chipped away for, what is it, 17 years? And that's what you do. You just kind of chip away. And sometimes you get bigger chunks than others. And sometimes you get a little breakthrough, you know, but there's no, it just takes time. And honestly, we're better for it. We're better that it takes time because you become, because like, if I would have had like some of those first things, like you just change as a person and you change as a comic. So hopefully, you know, you kind of start getting recognized by the stuff that's most genuine and true to you anyways. And that takes a long time to find as a comic.
Yes. I think that incredibly inspirational. We are all in a prison, slowly chipping away. Will you get out? Maybe.
Trying to avoid certain inmates and guards, yes! You know, trying to figure out who our allies are. And,
who are
you
the
know,
commenters?
Honestly, a lot of comedy club bookers feel like wardens, the warden, honestly, they really do.
That is
being taken advantage of, doing shady deals with them.
That is very true. Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the, what the backyard owners would be, or the backyard venue.
The backyard people. Gig is like... when the backyard gig is when they get those beers on the roof. That's the backyard gig. It's just a little moment of reprieve from all your mopping, or what are they, like tarring a roof, right? You're just like, oh, and you sit down and even, yeah. I mean, we're just breaking down the movie Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yes.
Thankfully, everybody knows it.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, beautiful quotes. I've got one prepared as well. And this one is not by any person whatsoever. It's actually by a robot.
Oh.
Its name is InspiroBot. And so its main purpose is to use AI to take some of the wisest words known to man or woman, just plunging into scripture and scholarly piece and work, and it just takes the best of the best and forms a quote. So I'll read this one, and Dustin, you can let me know how it speaks to you.
Okay, I'll see if I can feel it.
All right. So this week, InspiroBot says, "You are neat, almost as neat as a wheelbarrow." And that's the whole quote.
That's the whole quote. I thought it said, "You are meat." And I was like, oh, this is heavy. You know, because if you are meat is actually like a pretty like, whoa. When someone tells you that, yeah, gosh, I am just a slab of meat, you know.
You are meat in a prison and you'll probably never escape.
So. Oh, man. As neat as a wheelbarrow. Well, there you go.
Maybe...
A wheelbarrow is such a, it's crazy that that's the best thing we could come up to do that job. Cause it looks like we should have made something better since then, right? Like something better than this clunky three wheel. What has three wheels? We don't use three wheels for anything. And I guess three wheels, it's got these handles. It looks all too wide, but if you need to move some dirt or you need to move some logs, I mean, it's your only option. You're not going to lug a wagon, you know?
It's really funny to think about that, too. That's a great point, because when has the last innovative, like, surprising moment come for the wheelbarrow? Maybe,
truly,
like, the late 1800s? Whereas my washing machine, I feel like it can make appointments to get a haircut for me.
Honestly, it'll cut your hair for you. Get it in there. Yeah. Yeah. The wheelbarrow has just been slow and steady. It's just been there. It's just been steady. It's been, you know, it's nothing flashy, but it's always there for you. You know, it's Wendy's. It's not, you know, you're like, I know I can count on it. I know I can count on it. I don't always pick it. I don't always need it, but when I need it, I know it'll be there for me.
You know, and maybe we are like the wheelbarrow in that regard, where we are slow, we are steady, and as you fill a wheelbarrow with things, you can fill a person with things, and sometimes they can transport it and dump it in other places. maybe sometimes a little more sloppily than others.
Yeah. I was thinking that I'm a wheelbarrow and that I'm really only useful for one thing. You know, like that's, I don't bring any other things to the table. I'm good at comedy and I have no other skill. I'm good at one job and nothing else.
You know, I feel I as well am in that. I need somebody to actually lift me up as well, because otherwise I'm just going to stay down.
Exactly. And, that's true. And someone has to do the heavy lifting still.
Somebody, yes, exactly. Somebody has to constantly carry me to get me anywhere. So, you know, I don't know how inspired I feel, but I do feel like we were able to take that quote and carry it, and now we can dump it.
We got something out of it.
We really did. Beautiful job, Dustin. That was amazing. So we're going to dive into the questions. We've only got two, but this first question is from the Reddit advice column. Our fan Isaiah brought it in. Thank you, Isaiah. It says, I'm cutting my hair on my own and need some advice. So I'm getting my hair cut tonight. I'm cutting it short and I wanted some advice on how I should do it. My hair is super long. Any help would be appreciated. Don't try to talk me out of this because it's happening. Best I can do is school or kitchen scissors. I know this sounds crazy, but I need this. And that was all one sentence, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I read like that. I didn't sense a lot of punctuation in it. It, you know, frankly, it reads like a panic note, you know, like a hostage, you know, like they had to scribble it and they couldn't waste with time with any capitalization.
There was also like an emotional outburst in the middle of it too. Don't try and talk me out of
this. Don't you dare. Well, you know, you're the long haired guy. I think you got a lead on this one. I don't know what to tell. I would say, you know, make it, I would say less is more. Don't try and take any risks. I would say you get real utilitarian about it. Just go basic, just kind of try and make it a shorter version of what you currently have. This isn't the time to try and get cute. This isn't the time to try and do it, but just whatever level you're at, just try and make it a little bit shorter than that. And so that, and you know, have a hat ready, you know, hopefully you have a job where you can wear a hat.
I like that. The backup plan. And I feel like in the army did they say a man is only as good as his wheelbarrow? And so
yeah, I
you've
think
got,
that's it. Yeah.
And so if you've got, what did he say? Kitchen scissors or school scissors. Yeah. I don't know how much of a good job that's going to do.
No.
On the old hairs. So I think, like you said, maybe a snip here, a snip there. And
yeah, just do what you have to do. If you just want to get it off your shoulders, you want to get out of your eyes, just do the absolute minimum. You know, don't, or just like, you know, I mean, you can't buzz it because he doesn't have the thing. Maybe just do maybe try bowl cut. You know, it's going to look ridiculous, but at least you'll know how to do it, you know?
Yeah, at least you'll have some sort of instructions on, you'll have the guideline right there. You just put it right there. And then
that'd be the move.
I like that. And if you want to, maybe you could add some style to it if you just move the bowl ever so slightly as you cut. So you could get little bit of a wave going on.
Yeah, I think we really helped Isaiah here.
I think he's ready to make the cut. So we're going to move on to, before we get to the last question, I've got a segment called Positive Spin. And this is where usually in life, bad things happen to us. What do we think about the negative? So I have a scenario, and Dustin, you're going to help us think of the positive so we can help train our minds start to think towards productively solving problems instead of just complaining.
Okay. I like this.
All right. So I heard you on the Self-Helpless podcast, as well as as your podcast with, by the way, congrats on the new cover art and adding Melissa to the logo.
Thank you. Woo. You know, it only took a year for me to commit to getting her on the logo, but she's there now.
Yeah, that's what matters. That's what matters. And I know you had talked about on the Self-Helpless podcast, your kids don't have social media. And this scenario, this is very specific to Dustin Nickerson, by the way. Your children all, I don't know, magically acquire phones and one free year of data plan. And they end up getting on social media. Then they get more followers than you and verified.
Yeah, I've thought about this. Yeah, I've absolutely.
specific.
I have thought about it. What would it be like if my kids had more followers than me? You know, and I on the one hand, I'd be really jealous. But on the other hand, they can't get any of the money until they're older anyways. You know, you can't get a check. You're like a child actor. So I would celebrate it because I would just be making more money. And I'm like, great. I've told them before, like, I wouldn't be on social media if I didn't have to. Like, this is work thing for me. So that's an easy spin. Is if they got more followers than me, then that's just more money in my account. You know, I can just go full like bad celebrity dad, you know, like when you have your kid, just take it from them. You know, I like it. And then I could use their money to build me a nicer studio, you know, in that space. This is a good news, actually. I'm really excited about this now that I think about it.
Oh, I love that. You could have the new studio and then built by the Nickerson offspring. And
exactly. Yeah.
This is, oh
yeah, it's good.
I love this. Big, all right. Well, you just destroyed that. That was wonderful. So
easy.
Last question. This one, again, from the Reddit advice column. It says, how to divide three people and two bathrooms. Hi, everyone. College student here. We originally had a 3x3 apartment. I'm guessing 3-bedroom, 3-bath. But due to some crazy circumstances, our landlord switched us to a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. We're trying to contest it, but it's not looking good. So what are some ways we could fairly figure out who shares a bathroom and who gets one to themselves? We're pretty stressed out. None of us like conflict. Anything helps. Oof. So, Dustin, I know you got married at 19. Besides your wife, did you have any roommates or have to share?
I went from my house growing up to living with a roommate for about a year and then moving in with my wife. I have never had a house that had more than one bathroom. My current house has 6 people to 1 bathroom. So I have zero sympathy for this situation. Four people can occupy 2 bathrooms. No problem. This is not a problem. Are you in the bathroom that often? You know, like there doesn't need to be a schedule. There doesn't need to be, you just use the bathroom when you need to. I would say, the first thought is you're like, okay, well, 2 get this one, 2 get that one. I would ditch that. I would say both bathrooms are everybody's bathrooms. And you maybe keep your stuff in a little shaving kit so you can be mobile for showers as you need to. And that just prevents any hurt feelings or any backup because you use whatever bathroom's available when you need to. So now you have 4 people using 2 bathrooms. There'll be one open all the time. This isn't an issue.
My God.
And then you just create a schedule for cleaning, of course, you know.
Right.
That's roommate stuff 101, but I would say they open, you know, all the bathrooms are all the people's.
Give it to the people. And you know what? It makes it feel like it's this nice, it's almost like you're traveling. You know, you can have it as these public bathrooms, not the ones like 7-Eleven where you have to have the little spoon with the key on it to get into the bathroom,
but more
airport one where you can, you know, it's a little clean. And
and that way when you, so say, you know, say me and you we got assigned to a bathroom.
Right.
And, you know, our other 2 roommates have theirs. Say we go in and, you know, you're in there and you're like, ah, gosh, you know, what are the odds that Stefan got in there right before me? There's none of that. There's no hurt feelings. There's no, you know, just go use the other bathroom, man. It's no big deal. No big deal.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I love that.
It's a little bathroom utopia.
Oh, beautiful. Distribution of wealth. Yes, bathroom, I guess. Awesome. Well, what a beautiful way to spin and swirl that one. Dustin, thank you so much. We've reached the end of the podcast, but first off, thank you so much for joining. And
thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Where can people find you? What have you got to plug? Where can people follow you? All that good stuff.
All my stuff is if you just go to my website, dustinnickerson.com, that has tour dates, that has links to my specials, links to my social media, links to my pod. All of it's just right there. You know, a little one-stop shop. I don't know how many of your listeners are in Phoenix, but I will be out there headlining Stand Up Live on June 30th, in addition to other tour dates across the country. So check those all out.
Oh, exciting. And the link's going to be in the show notes. So listeners, all you got to do when you're in that shared bathroom, just click on the show note link and
perfect. Then bam.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Dustin. Thank you, listeners. And we'll talk at you next week.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. What a magnificent episode with Dustin Nickerson. Thank you all for attending. I really appreciate it. There are going to be donuts on the way out. No, there aren't. I'm sorry I lied to you, but I will tell you the truth in that I am ecstatic that you made it all the way to the end. Thank you for all the love, all the support. Support Dustin and see him live if you got the chance. Links are in the show notes to follow him, support him. Follow me, support me, and get that CBD. Mm-mm-mm. I'm rhyming. Okay, I ruined it. I love you guys. Thank you so much. And smooches. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Gooch smooch. Ugh, no. It rhymed, but it didn't sound good.